Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we've got a couple of reports out of China to talk about. We've got September sales, and then we have some updates on Tesla's legal actions there to kind of fight back against some of the bad press they've received. Then we've got some news on the Tesla Semi / Mega Charger, updates from India, a crash test video from Tesla, updates from CATL, LG, GM, all the abbreviations there, Lucid, and a couple other items as well. Nice day for Tesla stock today, finishing up 1.75% to $805.72, finally breaking through what seemed to be a pretty tough $800 stock price barrier. This is the first time since February 12th that Tesla's closed above $800 a share, so it marks a 7-month high. NASDAQ, on the other hand, was slightly down on the day, 0.14%, so year-to-date, Tesla now trails the NASDAQ by just 3.5 percentage points. All right, so first up today, we finally got the China Passenger Car Association reports for the month of September, and it turns out that Tesla has, in fact, ended up with retail sales, so domestic sales in China for the month of September, of just above 52,000 vehicles. The split there was about 33,000 Model Y and about 19,000 Model 3, and then it looks like Tesla did end up exporting a small amount in September. That was about 3,800 vehicles probably early in the month. So total retail sales plus export, China reports this as wholesale sales, was 56,000 for the month of September. So we had heard rumors that this number was going to come in somewhere around this level. That was from Tesla Shanghai on Twitter. Remember, I've been kind of keeping track of the track record here. And this is another feather in that cap, definitely improving it. This account hasn't been perfect, but it's definitely clear from the numbers that they've given so far that they have some sort of information. It's for sure worth monitoring, which we will continue to do. Anyway, back to those retail sales numbers. So 52,000, again, that's domestic China sales only. So this number should comfort some of those concerns around demand falling off in China. This is the best month ever for Tesla sales in China, up 47% from the previous best month, which was March. Analysts should like that, but we always have to consider the context. So just like we wouldn't want to overemphasize the first month of a quarter, for example, the huge drop in domestic sales that we saw in July, we also don't want to overemphasize the final month of a quarter, as Tesla has now shifted to Shanghai being that export hub. So we should expect this delivery wave, which is exactly what we did end up seeing in Q3, and that backloads the final month of the quarter. If we do look at the total quarter, however, Q3 retail sales were about 73,500 vehicles. That's up 19% from Q2. Q1 was actually a bit higher than Q2 at about 69,000 vehicles, so Q3 surpassing that previous high by about 6%. So even on a quarterly level, those numbers are looking pretty good, and we don't really have a true sense of what the demand is because of Shanghai being that export hub and Tesla having to balance their limited supply across international demand. At a minimum, this should help ease China demand concerns though, but I think the market would like to see it happen for another quarter or two, because we also have to consider that this quarter, Tesla did introduce the standard range Model Y, and certainly an introduction like that is going to cause a spike in demand, so that leaves inherently an open question of if that can then be sustained. It's not something I'm too concerned with, and I think Tesla's got plenty of margin that if they need to, they can lower prices, generate more demand. But my view and the market's perception are obviously going to be two different things. Anyway, the next report that we'll be looking out for from China should be production numbers. That should come in a couple of weeks, production numbers for September. Which, yes, we know Tesla's total Q3, but if we get Shanghai September, then we can figure out the split between Shanghai and Fremont, and that'll help us a lot for forecasting Q4. All right, so the other update out of China is Tesla's ongoing public relations effort to kind of push back against people that made claims that Tesla feels were not true. Obviously, a couple of those were related to claimed brake failures. Tesla has won a court case against an owner that had claimed brake failure and unintended acceleration. This was the person that actually ended up posting a third-party review of the incident online, thinking that that might help his case, but actually ended up showing that it was driver error. Anyway, the court has ruled that the owner did have full responsibility and also must apologize to Tesla on social media. He was then also ordered to pay Tesla about $7,700 for damages. So good for Tesla to set a precedent there, and it seems that there have been a lot fewer stories like this in the last couple of months. So I think Tesla taking a more active role in public relations and communications has definitely helped so far. Hopefully that'll continue going forward. And I'm sure out of situations like this that Tesla's learned quite a few lessons that can help them in the future as well. All right, next up here, we've got some Tesla Semi-related news. So Sawyer Merritt sharing a few photos here from Giga Nevada that he is saying are Tesla Semi mega chargers being built. Not a whole lot of detail that I can at least extract out of these photos. It looks like maybe there are four slots or lanes here for semis to kind of pull through and charge. But it's really exciting to see some progress on some of the infrastructure being set up here. Remember, Tesla has talked about kind of being their own first customer for the Semi, So a route between Fremont and Giga Nevada, which is about 260 miles, is a perfect test route for Tesla, one that I'm sure they've run with the prototypes quite a few times. But hopefully now that we're seeing this at Giga Nevada, maybe we'll see it at Fremont too, and maybe start seeing some Tesla semis consistently going back and forth. Tempering some of that excitement though, remember Elon did say during the shareholder meeting that Tesla is now hoping for the semi in 2023. So even if we do start seeing some infrastructure or even some usage here, it doesn't necessarily mean anything in terms of production. Next, we've got a small update on the FSD beta from Elon on Twitter, responding to a question about when it might be expanding to 99 scores. Elon said, quote, "Maybe next week we'd like to get to 10.3 before expanding the beta," end quote. So maybe it doesn't sound like the most exciting update, but could be a lot worse. Elon could just say, hey, we're holding off on expansion until we get a little bit more data from this current round, which, yes, understanding that maybe we can't necessarily put a whole lot of stock in Elon's timeline on this, I think something like that would be a little bit more vague than what he has presented here, which is probably about as good as one could expect, but at the same time, it's also not expansion every sort of few days as Elon had originally suggested. I don't think that really ever made a ton of sense. Probably better to expand, wait a little bit to see how that goes, and then continue expanding versus just slowly and consistently expanding. As for the 10.3 portion of that tweet, Elon saying maybe next week, if Tesla follows the usual cadence of targeting Friday at midnight, sounds like best case we'd be looking at Friday the 22nd, so about a week and a half from now. Next, we've got a new video from Tesla's YouTube channel, which has been a little bit more active as of late. In general, I think that is nice to see. This latest video is on Tesla's crash lab, what they're calling data-driven safety. It's a really cool video. It's only 4 minutes long. I'll put the link to it in the show notes. Definitely recommend watching it. But they walk through how they use the data that they collect from Autopilot, from the cameras to the telematics, incorporating all the information that they have to help design what Tesla feels are better crash simulations and better crash tests that go above and beyond what Tesla's required to do from a government or regulatory crash testing perspective. It's really cool hearing Tesla talk about that because they truly are focused on safety. Like, you can just tell that. This ties into what Elon was talking about at the shareholder meeting. Tesla tries to just do the good thing. They try to do the right thing, and making safer cars is a big part of that. They're not just trying to optimize for the best safety rating from government crash test, which obviously Tesla does extremely well on those too, but they're going even further, going above and beyond. That may never show up in a safety rating. A customer may never hear about it. It might not make any difference in anybody's purchase decision, but could end up making a huge difference in their life. If you look at something like that through the lens of a spreadsheet, it's not going to have a positive return on investment. It's probably going to be negative. So some may look at that and say, hey, we already got the 5-star safety rating. Customers are already safe. Why are we spending more money in this area? Let's pull it back, put that money elsewhere. But Tesla instead doubling down because they know they can use this information to make improvements, and they know that's the right thing to do. That is something that's built into the culture. Elon has always said that safety is Tesla's primary design objective, and that really shows through in this video. All right, next up is a little bit of news out of India, and I'm not really sure how seriously to take this, but India's Minister of Road Transport and Highways, Nitin Gadkari, reportedly said that the starting price for Teslas in India would be somewhere around 3.5 million Indian rupees, which comes out to about $46,400. Unfortunately, I don't have the direct comments just going off of this report, but I don't really see how that could be the case because India does levy a 60 to 100% import tax. So best case, you'd be looking at about 33% more expensive than that, about $60,000 or so, if he's talking about imports and if India doesn't lower those import taxes for EVs. If he's talking about a potentially domestically produced Tesla, well, then that would be many years away and obviously subject to change. So probably not worth spending a whole lot more time on for now, but any listeners in India, feel free to add any more details if you've got them. Next up, we've got a really quick piece of news on Tesla battery supplier CATL. The company has announced that they expect to spend up to the equivalent of $5 billion on a battery recycling facility in China. So this is an industry that's kind of popping up before our eyes here. Obviously, we've heard Tesla talk about it quite a bit, and even more so recently, Redwood Materials as well. And while I don't see a timeline on this investment, which does make a big difference, obviously a big investment from CATL here too. A little bit more battery news here. So of course we've talked about the Chevy Bolt recall and how GM and LG have been negotiating on the costs for that recall. Looks like they have now come to an agreement, with GM saying that LG has agreed to cover the recall costs and expenses. The report here is a little bit confusing. They say that that would be a $1.2 billion combined between LG Chem and LG Electronics. But then they also say that as a result of the agreement, GM is estimating recovering $1.9 billion of $2 billion in charges associated with the recalls. So I'm not really clear on if it's 1.2 or if it's 1.9 billion on LG's end, Sounds like that might be dependent on what the actual recall ends up costing at the end of the day. But either way, it looks like LG bearing the brunt of the costs, with LG and GM both looking to move on and continue working together. Next is just a quick update from Lucid on their YouTube channel today. They unveiled Dream Drive. So this is their advanced driver assistance system suite. They demonstrated some of the features, showed some of the UI. This is a very produced video, which for what it was, I do think was pretty good, but obviously we kind of just need to see how this stuff works in real life. It does look like they've got kind of a nice bird's eye view generated from the cameras, which is something that I know a lot of Tesla owners have been interested in. Obviously with the Tesla, you get that bird's eye visualization, but this seems to really be the camera feed. So that kind of stuck out as something a little bit different, but the rest is probably what you would expect. And I did note that it doesn't look like they have automated lane changes available yet. They just said that that would be available soon. All right, last couple of items, kind of a fun one here. Mattel has announced that they will be producing a 3,000 plus piece Megablock Cybertruck set. So this would be kind of a Lego competitor. I know people have strong feelings about that stuff, but anyway, it looks pretty cool. It's pretty pricey at $250, but it looks like orders will open up for this on Friday if you are interested. And if you want to check it out, as I did here, you can download the AR file and play with that on your device, which was kind of cool. And then the last thing, just a note on yesterday's episode, I think we had 330 comments yesterday, and I think probably about 300 of them were telling me that the bear that we talked about on that Model Y at GigaFest is a symbol of Berlin, so likely no connection with Tesla bears or anything like that. Appreciate the comments. I would, though, just lightly encourage people to maybe just check out a couple of other comments before adding to it. That should make the discussion better for everybody, and there's just always interesting stuff in the comments anyway, so they're good to check out regardless. But again, thank you, and that is where we'll wrap up for today, so as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, October 13th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.